Well, good morning, y'all. Hey, so excited to be capping off the year with you today in the house. We've got something here before we get going in the message. We've got a 2024 Bible reading plan that we've put out as a church. It's on the website, and then we have some of these handouts for you as well if you want to take this home with you. Really encourage you to read something, okay? So you don't have to do this specific Bible reading plan, but I wanted to explain it. And then if you go again on the website, on the front page, you can click the PDF there. And there's two options that we have for you going into this year. Firstly, this is not one of the options. We are putting in here the Hear Journaling Method. This is by a pastor called, by the name of Robbie Gallaty. And it's just a method of reading the Bible each and every day. It's real practical, breaks it down in a real easy way. If you've never read the Bible before, it's called the Hear Journaling Method. Just encourage you to try that out this year. It's something I've been doing the last couple of weeks and find it real beneficial even to my own prayer journaling in the morning as I read through the scriptures. But here's what we're doing. So we have two options for you. The first one is if you want to read through the whole Bible in a year, we've got that for you. So what this reading plan offers is every single day, it's a 5-day a week reading plan, and we've put that in there. So recognizing that we all miss days. In fact, yesterday morning, that's my sermon review morning, I didn't have my personal devotion with God yesterday. That's horrible to admit. I had some prayer time. I reviewed the sermon, but I missed my personal prayer time in the morning. And so we just kind of recognize that you're not going to be perfect every week. So this is a 5-day a week reading plan. That way, if you miss a day, you can get caught back up. But here's how it works. Each day of the week, or 5 days every week, there is an Old Testament reading and then one chapter from the New Testament. There's 260 chapters in the New Testament, so there's one chapter a day for the New Testament, and then there's some chapters in the Old Testament. You can either read through the entire Bible, that means you read the Old Testament section and the New Testament, or if you've never read the Bible every single day in your life, I just want to encourage you to go for a chapter a day from the New Testament, and you'll find that extremely beneficial. Just go for it. Try to read a chapter a day. If you want to go all in and read the whole Bible, join me in doing that. That's something I do every single year. I find it real beneficial to my spiritual life, that, and I read a proverb a day, and then I throw in a little devotional as well. If you want to join me in doing that, please do. But if you've never read at all, understand, kind of saying, I'm reading the whole Bible in 1 year. You might get a little worn out. So why don't you just jump in and read the New Testament? And that way we can all be reading something of the same together this year. If you already have something you do for devotionals, perfectly fine. We just want to encourage you as a church to read your Bibles every day and pray. It matters so much to your spiritual life and your spiritual journeys. I'm going to set this down here for no reason other than I've just committed to set that over there. I could have just set it on my chair, on my table there. But hey, a few weeks ago, I was up reading my Bible in the morning. I have this rhythm where I wake up every single morning, usually. Then I noted yesterday I missed a day. And I'm usually up around 5 a.m. I drink a lot of water. Drink water every day. It makes a difference. I'm telling you, drinking water makes a difference. Drink a lot of water, have coffee, and then I read my Bible and I pray. And my prayers are actually, I have different things I pray for each day, and that's on my phone. So I have it out on my phone where I can click through and kind of check off different things I'm praying for. And my daughter, sometimes Piper wakes up early. I mean like 5:30. And so she woke up early that morning, and this is not the first time she's done that. And she'll sit next to me on the couch, and usually I'm like, just lay her head down because daddy's going to be reading his Bible a little bit longer and praying. Well, she likes to grab my phone, and she has liked to check the prayers off. And so that's what she wanted to do this time. I was like, okay, no problem. But she said, this time I would like to actually say the prayers. I want to pray with you, and can I pray through these with you? I was like, absolutely. So I was going through them, and then I heard her just kind of whispering, praying. And she actually prayed for some of you this specific day, because some of you in our church is on that list. So she actually prayed for some of you, but then her eyes lit up when she saw Piper and Ivy. That's her name and her and my other daughter's name. I mean, lit up. That's me and Ivy. Like, yeah. And I said, go ahead. You can pray for yourself. And by the way, I want to encourage you to, when you pray every day, say a prayer for yourself, for your personal sanctification. So I was like, go ahead. You can say a prayer for herself. And almost verbatim, this is what she prayed. She said, God, thank you for making me an ivy. And it was just so special. Because I thought, wow, like the faith of a child recognizing that life is a gift and just thanking God for life. And she's going to get older and realize it becomes harder to thank God for life. But as a seven-year-old, I hope that just gets instilled in her that you're alive and breathing. And that's amazing. That's a miracle. And so, yeah, thank God for life. And I don't know where you are today, how you feel 2023 went. You know, I don't know if there's ever a year where I'm like, oh, that was the year. You know, that was it. It's never going to be top. Usually I'm like, all right, 2024, that's my year. I'm checking it off. So I don't know where you are. I don't know if you feel like, man, your year was great, or if it was like, this year stunk. Well, good news for you is tomorrow makes a new year. So if this year stunk, you can say, see ya, 2023. But we all have something to be grateful for. And it's, you're alive. You made it. And for some of you, just simply saying, like, I made it, I'm alive, you know where you were 6 months ago, you wouldn't have thought you were going to make it to this moment today. 6 months ago, you were like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it to tomorrow. So you're here. You're here. You made it. You're alive. And I just think it's good to kind of follow in my daughter's footsteps to just take a quiet moment of reflection, thanking God for life, and thanking God that we all made it to this moment. Now, it's really quiet in this room, so it might feel kind of awkward because we don't have the master keys player to my left. So it's going to be real quiet, but let's just take a moment, and we're just going to reflect on 2023, and we're going to thank God for life. We're going to thank God for life. So let's just take a moment to pray and reflect. God, we're so grateful. I know I'm grateful I made it to this date, this day, this moment. Lord, I had plenty of moments this year where I didn't know if I was going to make it. And plenty of days where I woke up and thought, I think I'm done. I think I'm done. This is too hard. And yet we're all here together. And so we're grateful. We're grateful for life. We're grateful for breath. We're grateful more than anything for Jesus who gives true life. And we're thankful. And so God, I just pray, maybe there was someone in here that didn't feel like they could really thank you for life right now because it's hard. I pray that you'd speak especially to them right now in this moment. And more than anything, we need you. We need you every single hour. There's not a day that goes by, a moment that goes by where we don't need you, where we're not in desperate need of you. So we're humbling ourselves before you right now. And these precious moments that we have together gathered with the church, once again, we're thankful. We need you to speak to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, so I don't know. So we started out the year. We're closing the year how we started the year out. If you didn't catch the theme, we literally used the same graphics. That partially saves the church money, but this was kind of, we mapped out the year looking ahead, saying, hey, what a cool opportunity that we get to start out 2023 in the house with the people of God, and we get to close the year out on a Sunday in the house with the people of God. So I just think that's cool. We won't get to do this again for a while, but we get to do that this time. And we started out the year saying or asking the question, what do you need to lay down to pursue holiness in your life? And I would imagine you, like me, was kind of thinking through different things I could lay down. I'd actually come into the room having already laid some things down, just weeks earlier. So there were some things heavy on my heart. And so I committed and just laid some things down at the cross. And by God's grace, made it here today, having still laid these things down at the cross. Don't even think about some of these things I laid down at the cross. Praise be to God for that. But how did you do in that? Did you crush it? Or do you feel like, yeah, I started, and now I'm like, you know, like everything, like back to my old habits? I don't know. There were some things I feel like I crushed, and then there are some things it's like, I don't even know why I uttered that to God, because he's looking at me like, yeah, yeah, good job, buddy. So I don't know where you are. I don't know if you feel like you crushed it or if you feel like it's just stunk. And maybe you're looking back earlier in the year, because we've talked holiness all year, and you're like, I don't even want to talk about it. Maybe that's you. Like, don't come up to me afterwards, because I know I said some things, you know, out loud. Now I'm, no, nothing. I just wanted to give you some good news that is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. And that God's grace is still sufficient for you. And it doesn't matter if your whole year was horrible and you're like, I failed at every little thing. God's grace is still sufficient for you. And here's the good news with the gospel. Christ's power does not come to perfection in your abilities, in your gifts, or in how great you did this year, but in your weaknesses. And that's the amazing thing. Now, I'm not saying go and just have a bunch of failure and say, well, this is so Christ's power can be perfected in me, so I'm sinning because, you know, this is how the gospel is on. No, that's not how it works. It's just when you come to the place where you recognize, man, I stink at this. Like, that's where his power will be perfected in your life, because it puts you in this humble place of dependency on him, and it's right where he wants you. We talked a lot about idols this year. In fact, we did a series on idols this year. We all have them. We all struggle with idols. In case you didn't know, you were created to worship. You were created to worship, ultimately to worship God. But God designed you. God created you to worship. The problem that happens in our lives all too often, is the case for me, and it's the case for you, is we worship a lot of other things than God. And here's what an idol is. An idol is anything that comes before God in your life. That is an idol. So if you're like, I've never had an idol in my life, that's impossible, because we all have things from time to time that we place before God in our lives. And it's a struggle to continually lay these idols down. But that's kind of a different way when we ask the question, how did it go when it comes to, or what do you need to lay down in your life in order to pursue holiness? You could really ask the question, what idols do I need to lay down in order to pursue holiness in my life and in your life? And I just want to say I was with you in that journey this year. There were some things really later on in the year, fall time, where I was like, man, there is so much more, like, my mind and the way I think and who I am so messed up and so in need of God in my life. And so I thank God that he continued to show me different idols I have in my life that I worship, and we're all on this journey together. And here's the reason that we are closing the year out the way we opened up the year. It's because this pursuit of holiness that we are on, that we've been on all year, it's an everyday pursuit. It's an every year pursuit. So even though kind of our key word for the year was holiness, just wanted to remind you that that's always the key word or focus that should be in your life. You should always be looking for different areas that need sanctification and growth. Always should be looking for idols that are popping up in your life that are getting in between you and God. So we're closing the year out how we opened up the year, because this is a theme that runs all throughout the scriptures, certainly a theme that should run all throughout our lives. And because of Jesus, we can truly be on this pursuit of holiness. I want to read our text. We'll say a few things after the text, and then we're going to close out with a song and then communion, and then praise be to God, we're going to close out with some baptisms. Let's look at 1 Peter, because this is how we open the year up, just reading these first few verses in 1 Peter. Look at what Peter writes. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those chosen, living as exiles, dispersed abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient and to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth and to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your salvation, of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." So God, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to close out the year how we started the year. And we're asking that you would please speak to us now as we embark on another year, recognizing that every single day is a gift. I do pray that 2024 would be an incredible year for the people of Sunrise City Church, maybe even for the ones who aren't a part of our body who are going to travel back to other states. God, I pray that you would be with us all as we're on this pursuit of knowing you more and making you known across the world. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So holiness is the call. We see that in verses 14, 15, and 16. That is the call. But the thing about holiness is we can't conjure up holiness on our own. It's not possible. Now, that's something that's said so often in the church, but it's frustrating when you forget that the holiness that we are called to, this righteous life that we are called to, it can't be done on our own. We run into difficulty. We run into trials. We have to deal with our own flesh. So we need a helper. And ultimately what we need is God's grace. You must receive God's grace first before you hop on this pursuit of holiness. And that's the problem with some of you in the room today, is you have not received God's grace. You are still stuck in darkness. And if you're like, is that me? If you're wondering, you probably know deep down that's you. You're stuck in darkness. You haven't been called out of the darkness yet and transferred into God's wonderful light yet. You're stuck in old patterns, old rhythms, just old self. And you've never made this breakthrough forward where you've received God's grace. The New Testament scholar Thomas Schreiner says it like this: grace precedes demand. Holiness is possible only when you receive God's grace. And this continual pursuit is possible only when you continually receive God's grace. See, so some of you, you're stuck and you've never had that transformation in your life. You've never gone from death to life. And again, you likely know that's you. Maybe you've had experiences where your heart's pounding in church. You're like, I don't know what's going on. You've never received God's grace. And so the possibility for holiness, it's really not much of a possibility for you right now until you receive. And then the holiness will come. But then there's the other people in the room. You have received God's grace, but it's not a continual thing in your life. It's one of the reasons why we're encouraging you to pray and read your Bible and trying to help you by putting some material in your hand. Because one of the ways that we continually receive God's grace is to bathe ourselves in the Word of God. And so if you felt like you hit some walls this year where you got stuck and you kind of had laid idols down, then you picked them back up, you'd laid some things down to pursue holiness, and then you picked them back up again, and you're right back stuck where you were a year ago, the problem could be because you aren't continually receiving God's grace. Or better stated, you aren't reminding yourself of the cross of Jesus Christ every single day. We need God's grace, and it's an everyday thing. Salvation is instantaneous, but this sanctification, this pursuit of holiness, becoming more like Christ, it's literally an every single day, every moment thing that takes place in our life. So grace precedes demand. To pursue holiness, we must receive God's grace first, and we need to receive it on a daily basis. Let's look back at our text, verses 14 and 15. Peter writes, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct." Your former desires, your former lusts, who you were before Christ, the way to holiness is to reject that with every bit of who you are. Don't conform to that way of life anymore. Paul states it like this in Romans 12, 2. "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." The enemy wants you conforming to this age. The enemy wants you conforming to who you were before Christ. But as a child of God, you must reject that. The goal is to conform your thinking and your behavior to God's character. But it takes a work of God to happen in your life if you want to conform your thinking and your behavior to God's character, which is why sometimes we sound like a broken record. We keep pointing you back to the Word of God, to the bathing yourselves in His Word, because this is where the life change happens. It doesn't even necessarily happen just because you're sitting in a seat on Sunday, although gathering with the people of God is a huge part of our pursuit of holiness. It happens in the day in and day out. Who or what are you conforming to today, right now? Verse 16 is the verse we really honed in on last year, and we're certainly going to, or beginning of this year, we're certainly going to hone in on it right now. Peter writes, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." The goal is holiness. And this call to holiness, if you notice, if you've got your Bibles open or your phones open, how does it look on the screen? Can you tell that it's a quote, verse 16? Nope. Well, you can say, well, it says, "For it is written." For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." This call to holiness is grounded in Scripture. Now, when you're reading your Bibles this year, anytime Scripture is quoting Scripture, like, this is a major thing you should focus on. Okay, we talk about different Bible reading techniques, and when you're looking for something this year, like, man, what are the Scripture? What are the things I should focus on? You can take this to the bank. If a Scripture passage anywhere in the Bible is quoting something else, another Scripture, really focus on that. And what Peter's doing is quoting a theme that runs all throughout of Leviticus. This theme that the people of God have a calling to pursue holiness. It's a theme that runs cover to cover in Scripture. It's a theme that when you read about it in the Old Testament, we see that people of God really struggle to pursue holiness. And this theme helps point to, oh, the only one who is holy is God. And praise be to God, He made a way for us to pursue holiness. But it's this theme that we focused on all year, and it's a theme that we want to continually focus on throughout the rest of our days as we are here on planet Earth. Sanctification, this process of becoming more holy, is a process that should take place until the day that we die or until Christ returns. And this call to be holy simply means that children of God should morally conform themselves to the character of God. Peter says, God says, be holy as God is holy. Now, please don't look back on your year trying to figure out if you got it all right. I certainly don't want this to be some moments where we have together where you're just beating yourself up. Because I'm acknowledging to you, I could look back over this year, and you should. It's good to reflect on a year, but I could look back, and there's plenty of areas where I stumble and I fell, and I fell short over and over and over again. That's not the point of what I want us to do right now in this moment. Don't want us beating ourselves up, but I do want to point out that this call to holiness remains. In January 1, he was like, yeah, the call is to be holy. And we're ending the year, December 31, the call is still to be holy. And so as we enter into just some moments of reflection, I want you to think about going into 2024, about the fact that you should always be willing to lay things down to better pursue holiness in your life. You should always be willing to lay idols down to pursue holiness in your life. But I wanted to phrase the question differently. This is really to the believers in the room. We all preach a gospel. Most of you are a believer. You could share the gospel right now, hopefully. And if you can't, let's talk about that a little bit. But we should all be able to share the gospel right now, to preach the gospel to the people around us. I want you to ask yourself this question, and I've been thinking about this a lot, even reflecting on this in my own prayer journal. Does your life reflect that you really believe the gospel that you preach? Ask yourself that. Does my life reflect that I really believe the gospel that I preach? So we opened the year with the Lord's Supper, and we're going to do that here in a second. But what we did was we opened up by entering into just a moment of singing and reflecting. And the team's going to go ahead and come up, and they're going to lead us in this song. And what I want you to do, you can stand up and sing, you can stay seated, you can come down here and pray in the front of the stage, but I just want you to reflect and really ask yourself a couple questions. That first one is, man, in 2023, my life, let's say, does my life right now reflect that I really believe this gospel that I preach? So that's the first thing to ask yourself. But then it's really important that when we enter into a time of communion, there's a couple things Scripture teaches us. Number one, communion, or the Lord's Supper, this sacrament that we do here at this church, it's important that it's only for believers, people who have given their life to Jesus. It's for you. And then secondly, what we read in Scripture is that we want to make sure that we are right with God. And this is one of the reasons why at Sunrise, we don't do communion every single week, because we don't want it to become too monotonous in our life. Just recognizing that it's a very sacred time that we have together as a church. So if you are a believer and you are right with God, communion is for you. But on that second point, one of the reasons that we're going to have a time of song and reflection is so that you can just get before God right now and make sure all is right before we enter into this time of communion. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, maybe you're like, I know I'm not a believer. Like, it ain't me. I want that, but it's not where I am right now. I just want you to know Jesus will meet you right where you are. And He came on this planet and died on a cross for you. And He rose again, conquering sin and grave for you. And he ascended into heaven and sent his Spirit down, indwelling all who put their faith in him. And he did that for you out of his great love for you. So if you want to give your life to Jesus right now, I want to encourage you, come and talk to me. Miss Lacey is over here. She would love to talk with you and speak with you more about what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe you just want to come down here in front of the stage and get on your knees and give your life to Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever God's leading you to do, don't let something hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back, because Jesus wants to change your life. So God, we are grateful to be here this morning, and we are asking now that you would speak to us as we enter into this precious time of communion, remembering what you've done for us. We love you, and we're grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for the cross. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.